Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Today's interview is with Brenda Smith, a certified technician for the SureTouch modality used for breast examinations. As Brenda explains, the fear and anxiety of finding cancer and also the radiation risk sometimes will get women to stop checking their breast and or get a physical exam. Through Brenda's education and examination demonstration, women can take care of their health and control their health in a safe manner through Brenda's SureTouch modality. Brenda gives tips on how to stay healthy and live a lifestyle that allows you to be less cancer risk. So listen to the full interview or go to the show notes for the highlights so you as women can take care of your health. Let's go right to the show. Brenda on Crooked Spine Show. Thanks for coming in. We want to talk about mammograms, radiation, basically thermography too, with breast awareness and breast exams. Take it over. I want to understand how you got into this.
I've been a licensed acupuncturist for about 18 years. I specialize in women's health and stress. And about 3 years ago, I was introduced to this machine, this new technology, that does pain-free, radiation-free breast exams. The technology that it's based on has been around for quite some time.
What is that technology?
It's called elastography.
Okay.
So basically, it's the technology of feeling. It's tactile.
Got it.
Okay? So the gentleman that developed this machine, it's called SureTouch. The gentleman that developed this had, he's a robotics engineer. He currently has a company where he makes robotic hands for different types of industries.
Okay.
And his mom had been going in for mammograms year after year, and she developed a lump here, like right under her collarbone.
Okay.
So the lump had been there. They didn't know what it was. When they finally got to take it out, they found out that it was breast cancer. So he said, well, that's crazy. My robotic hand could have found that. And what's interesting about breast cancer is that cancer lesions have a very specific profile. They feel very different from the rest of breast tissues.
Got it.
They feel very different from cysts and other things.
So you have to be certified with that type of touch or sensation to understand what that would be.
Correct. So when we go to our doctor and we have what's called a clinical breast exam, right, the doctor actually feels for masses.
Okay. Is this a specialist or is it a general practitioner?
Typically, it's going to be your gynecologist because they do them more often.
Got it.
What this is that, but amplified. So it's much more sensitive and much more specific in terms of what we find.
And being somewhat a machine-based or computer-based, there's more liability, more ability to where it's going to help, I'm going to assume, less false positives.
Correct.
Okay.
Because, again, breast cancer lesions have a very specific profile. So the problem we're having with the current system with the x-rays is that white spots could be either nothing or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and then we have 50% of women that actually have dense breast tissue.
Wow.
Which means that 50% of us are either being underdiagnosed or overdiagnosed.
So you're just unsure at that point.
We're unsure at that point as to what it is. So now we have to follow the protocols to try to figure out whether it's something to be concerned about or not.
So take me back to, you mentioned you started this about 3 years ago. What was your previous profession, overall background, field, why I got into this?
As an acupuncturist?
As an acupuncturist.
Why I became an acupuncturist?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Okay.
It's one of those questions I get asked all the time. I've been...
Why do you enjoy it for so long, though?
I guess because I'm naturally an out-of-the-box thinker.
Good. This is the coming back
and
full circle.
And I love that.
Got it.
Acupuncture, that it's about figuring things out and why the traditional things don't work and why the acupuncture does. I think our bodies are just absolutely amazing.
Yes.
In what they're capable of doing if they're given the right information to do it.
And you're almost helping the body get back to its normal balance overall.
Correct.
Good. And with what you're doing now, you're allowing women, especially women, some men have it too, understanding how to do things somewhat naturally relative to the normal standard medical procedures, understanding mammograms and things like that.
Correct.
So specifically, relative to mammograms, what is the safety issue or risk with mammograms?
It's an
X-ray. Some people may not know, so I just want to make sure.
So here's the bottom line. We all know that ionizing radiation is what x-rays are, right?
Yes.
So, and we also know that ionizing radiation causes cancer.
Yes. Any dosage, any amount can cause cancer.
based on, they do give you, and as a radiologist, as a chiropractic radiologist, I take X-rays in my office. My disclosure is I do relicensing every year, and 5 hours minimum. I had to take a big test a couple years ago, so I understand the current information too. There is no safe radiation dose. That's one of the questions where you have to answer true. I think that's true, yeah. Whatever the answer question was. Mm-hmm. At that point, even though there's limits you can hit, realize once you have radiation in your body, it discumulates. There's no, it doesn't reduce like minerals or vitamins do, it just in your body. So the more you have that, maybe from outside sources or things like an X-ray or a mammogram, your body absorbs that over time. Okay.
And hold on to it.
Hold on, it doesn't stop.
Okay. So the more X-rays we have, the more radiation is being stored in our body.
Yes.
So my question is really simple. Why are we looking for cancer with something that could potentially cause it?
I have no idea. Doesn't make sense. Is that the only option that your medical doctor, hospital, health insurance will actually pay for or use as your standard set of medical care?
Well, ultrasound is another option. Ultrasound has no radiation.
Okay.
It is dependent on the person who's doing the ultrasound.
So it's more technician-based.
Well, it's more technician-based, which is fine if they're properly trained and they're doing a screening. So here's another thing that's really important to understand. There's screening, which is basically sweeping all the breast tissue to see if there's something else that we need to look for.
Got it.
And then there's diagnostic. So okay. The way the system works now is that the screening is the X-ray.
Okay.
And then if there's something suspicious, then they go on to a diagnostic ultrasound, which means they're not sweeping all your breasts with the ultrasound. They're just looking in that spot.
Good. One more time. Explain that. So they're not actually looking at the whole breast area.
They're only looking at the area that the X-ray deemed suspicious.
Yeah, so you go back and from X-ray first as a way to see your gynecologist.
Right.
Something might be there from a gynecologist, take the X-ray first. At that point, we think that might be an issue, we're not sure yet, ultrasound done next. That area looks like something might be in, and then we go for another mammogram?
Then typically you're going to go from there to a biopsy.
Wow. So you have four steps, three of them, that have sometimes more of a risk than a benefit.
Just not as accurate as it could be.
Okay.
So okay.
You've taken four visits for four periods
to find out that nothing's happened.
And you're causing more anxiety
exactly.
in someone too.
Now you've got an anxiety situation, which hormonally, you know, if our cortisol levels go up, now we're having other issues. You know, it's just, it's kind of a maddening situation.
Yes.
Ideally, if we're going to go through what the insurance does, if you could skip the X-ray completely and just go to the ultrasound and have a screening ultrasound, right?
Okay.
Where all the breasts is being checked. Then that would be great. That would be perfect.
You do one quick sweep and you know, okay, either I have something going on or not, then I know for sure right there.
Right.
It's going to be anxiety.
Exactly. There's going to be more accurate results.
Okay.
But what other choices do we have? So one of the popular choices I know they're out there as well is thermography.
Okay.
Thermography looks for heat signs.
Yes.
Whenever you have a new cell, so let's say the cancer cell is teeny, teeny, tiny, it needs blood supply in order to grow.
You blood supply.
So a thermograph will find that heat marker.
Okay.
And that could be good. Limitations from my friends that are thermographers is that heat marker could be from anything. It could have been from your seatbelt when you first came in. It's looking for
inflammation. Could be a bruise.
It could be anything. So again, it's still not as specific as
it could be. If you do an ultrasound, you almost need, even with a good technician, you still need our thermography. You still need another test.
You need another test. And there was an article that came out last year from one of the journals, the American Medical Journals, that basically said we should be getting two different types of exams.
Okay.
So if we're adding SureTouch to that, now we've got four options, right?
Okay.
We've got the X-ray, we've got the ultrasound, we have the thermograph, and we have the SureTouch.
Okay.
So we have choices. We have options.
So you
options.
Have four choices. Which is the less risky? Which has, I guess, downside, upside?
They all have downside, upside.
Okay.
They all have, none of them is perfect. Okay. Which is why two is always a good thing.
Got it. So you want to be more, you're going to be rule out the false positives or false negatives by having two.
Correct.
Okay.
You'll get more information.
Got it.
You'll have more complete information if you have two. So to answer your question, I think the question for me as a woman is which will do the least amount of harm?
Exactly, less risk to the body.
Has less risk to me in the long run, exactly.
Okay.
So
okay.
For me, it's... kind of clear.
And going back to the gentleman that invented this, the engineer, mm-hmm. why did he figure out why his mom had breast cancer at the clavicle? How she got that?
No, but what it did open up was a very, very interesting situation.
Okay.
Because the x-ray machine doesn't read anything from here up.
What?
This is only what can get in the machine.
Wow.
So none of the breast tissue that comes up to the clavicle and nothing in the armpit, it gets into the machine.
So the actual x-ray mammogram doesn't do that?
It does not cover those areas.
Wow. Okay.
So a lot of us are at risk in these areas, and many of the women that find their own breast cancers find them somewhere in the armpit area where the x-ray can't get to.
Wow.
So it's less complete. So whereas with the other three options, we're seeing everything.
So the x-ray mammogram actually doesn't cover the area where you can, it excludes the area that you can find breast cancer.
Correct.
Especially at early stages of where it can be treated. And by missing that, you're also causing more radiation in the body that doesn't really need that.
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
And you said something really critical. It's about finding it early.
Early detection.
Now, here's something that's been very interesting for me since I've been offering this and doing this work. I thought this was going to be an addition to my practice. This year, it has become most of my practice because of the education that I've gotten.
Great.
And one of the things that I found is that so many women just won't get checked because they don't want the radiation and they don't want to experience the pain. Now, I get the reason, but not getting checked is not good.
So their fear, not even fear, I wouldn't call it.
No, it is a fear.
The fear of radiation and of the actual mammogram itself because it is painful.
For many women.
At that point, they go, why would I, if I don't want it, and is it a sense where they just don't want to know, too?
There's that as well.
Okay, that mental.
There's that as well. So, the first group of, I just don't want to do that, but I don't know what else to do.
Okay.
This is a perfect choice that they can make, right? Because if we find it early, then treatment is not as aggressive. Right? Because this is the thing. We're seeing so many women that are going through treatment and we're mortified with what they're having to go through. So we don't want to have to go through that. The thing is, if we wait longer, we increase the chances of having to go through that. In any medical condition. We've got to find it soon. We've got to find it small, early, so that it could be dealt with as least invasive treatment as possible.
Well.
Then there's this other interesting story that I was told recently by a radiologist.
Okay.
It took Dr. Papalau, who invented the pap smear, 30 years to get that exam into the regular medical system. Because back then in the 1930s, every woman knew a woman who died of cervical cancer.
Mm.
And they were scared.
Wow.
And we are now in that same place.
Wow.
We're in the place where we don't want to get tested, some of us, because we're afraid of the result.
Of being positive for.
Of it being positive. But now, women go every year, we go get our pap smears, and it's no big deal. And if they say, oh, you've got some cancer cells, it's no big deal. You snip it, you freeze it, you do it, and life goes on.
Because you've gone every year.
Right, because it's been caught early. So emotionally, we have to kind of move into that space of, I'm going to find something that works for me, and I'm not here to tell you not to get the x-rays. You have to make these decisions for yourself. I feel that my role is to educate women so that we can make good decisions for ourselves.
And with that too, how is a mammogram, relative finding things and finding a positive test or even a true positive versus thermography and SureTouch?
What do you mean?
What's the accuracy?
You know, it fluctuates.
Okay.
I know women who on their first mammogram, they found aggressive breast cancers and saved their lives.
Okay.
Okay.
There is no, it's hard because it's still person to person.
Correct.
When they get tested, how old are they? Is there a family history of having it too?
So here's the other thing, important for women to understand. Genetic breast cancers account for 3-5% of all breast cancers.
Fantastic. Good to know.
3-5%. That means that the other 95% of us could be in prevention mode with diet and lifestyle. Please do not believe me. Go online, look on breastcancer.org, American Cancer Association, and every one of those websites will tell you that 85-95% of cancers, including breast cancers, are preventable with diet and lifestyle.
And that's not advertised. That's part of it. It's not, there's not a worse, in any health condition too, a lot of it is about 5%. It's been documented, everything too, to where you have to understand you can control a lot of this. When should women start worrying about this?
When
should their lifestyle, when should they have more, it's okay, if I don't want to get this, when should I start changing my lifestyle or living a healthier lifestyle?
At birth.
Okay.
I mean, good. You know, good. We have to start paying attention. Here's the thing that we're up against. We're up against a food industry that is loaded with hormones especially.
Yes.
I don't know when happened, 20, 30 years ago, that all of a sudden, you know, beef was not a good thing to eat. So
yeah.
Everybody switched to chicken. And chickens are normally about this big.
It's amazing.
But the supply and demand, they needed more chickens faster. So now chickens are this big, but they're loaded with hormones. We are eating those hormones. The primary hormone that we're eating in those chickens is estrogen, which is what feeds breast cancer.
Yes. And at high levels, you have a huge amount of risk of having that too.
Exactly. Processed foods. So, ladies, be careful even with your teenage girls. I'm getting girls in their 20s.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get
to. In their 20s and 30s that are already cystic,
yeah.
that are already getting really lumpy and fibrous. You know, we've got a number one thing. People say, oh, what's a good detox? Get the garbage out of your diet. That's the best detox.
It's a lifestyle. It's not a detox. It's more
exactly.
of a change. If nutrition-wise, how do I avoid things that are not only going to hurt my body internally, like breast cancer or cervical cancer, but also overall body so I don't have high cholesterol, high fat levels, high fatty liver for one too.
Exactly.
I live a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
You know, and that's the key. I think a lot of it is, and acupuncture is very similar to chiropractic. We believe that the body is self-healing, self-regulating. There's ways to treat things naturally when you have a condition
mm-hmm.
and then get back to a normal healthy lifestyle or learn how to so you maintain it on your own. We don't want to see you. We want you to stay healthy. But when you have a problem, we educate you first and then treat you to understand how to keep your body healthy. And this is part of it. Part of having a proper, healthy, radiation-free breast exam allows your body to stay healthy without having the risk of having breast cancer from the exam itself or having a low, valid, accurate exam by missing tissues like the armpit or the upper or the clavicle area by not getting that proper actual testing.
Right.
That's the big picture. And a lot of what SureTouch does, how is it different than a mammogram or a thermography or an ultrasound?
In terms of how it works?
Exactly.
Okay, so again, it's palpation.
Okay.
So this is the sensor. It's over 190 little tiny sensors that feel through, and it's calibrated specifically for breast tissue, so I can't use it anywhere else on the body.
So feel through meaning touch, actually, like it says. SureTouch. Hey, by the way.
I put my finger on it, and you see that?
Oh, okay. Let me zoom in real quick.
So that's what it's looking for.
Okay. Let's see if I can do it with this or not. Let's go a little closer. So it looks right.
Okay.
There.
So I'm going to put my finger on this.
Okay.
And the sensors feel that there's something hard there, right? There's something firm. So when we're doing breast tissue, let's see if it'll work on my arm. It's just going to give us like little soft ripples. Okay, those would be like nothing, just little soft densities. But if we hit something hard...
Mm.
All
okay.
right. It's going to indicate. Now, what it's also going to do is it's going to give me the size and it's going to give me the firmness of it, and all those are markers so that we know that this is something that's suspicious that we're going to need follow up on.
Does the modality basically count the pressure on that area? So when you use your finger,
right? I use
at
my
that
finger.
Point,
so it's freestanding. So
okay.
I can sweep all the breast tissue.
Okay.
I can get everywhere.
Got it. Okay.
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 And then it's going to record. And when it's recorded, now, if there's something that we want to look at,
sure.
let's say she's very dense. So as an acupuncturist, I can give you supplements, I can give you herbs, send you home, take that, come back 3 months later, we have a recording, we can check it again and see, oh, everything's getting softer, everything's fine.
Good. Okay.
But if we do find something that's of concern, then I have a report that I can give you to take back to your doctor so that you can get follow-up.
And what would you find as a concern? What would show up on the actual display?
It would be... It would have a very narrow base.
Okay.
It would be very sharp at the tip.
Mm, okay.
And
so more of a hardened tissue.
Right. So it's like I describe it as a difference between having your socks bunched up in your shoe. That's
okay.
dense breast tissue, right? You know it's your sock, it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
As opposed to a pebble in your shoe. That feels completely different.
Or a marble. They still have marbles out there. I've seen marbles in a while.
It's more like a rock because it's kind of jagged. So this is my training pad.
Okay.
And I want you to,
what? Okay, I'm coming in.
I want to see your reaction.
Going back in.
He hasn't done this yet, so this is going to be very organic.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so when, ladies, this is the other thing. We're not doing self-breast exams.
No.
We're not checking ourselves. And most of the women tell me they won't check themselves because they don't know what they're feeling. And they're feeling a lot of stuff, but they don't know what it is.
Just don't know how to do it.
So it's kind of a little bit anxiety driven because you don't know what you're feeling. So you want these three fingers flat, right, to massage the tissue.
Okay.
So, hold on, let me find my, okay. So I want you to feel right in that corner there. Okay, what does
that
feel like?
A little nodule.
How would you describe that?
It's more of the sock than the marble.
Okay.
Right, and right there, so maybe about like, the width of my index or my finger. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now this corner right here.
More like a sharper, I want to say. Pushes back on my finger. It's not very bally. It's more of, feels like the end of a pen or something.
Yeah.
My sense.
And that's what women will find. So this, what I call the jelly bean.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It moves around.
It's more, it's a bigger, it's, yeah, like a jelly bean.
It's globular, it moves around, it comes and goes with your cycle.
And it moves with your finger, too. It doesn't really, it's not connected to tissue as firm
correct.
As the other one.
The other one
is
anchored. So when ladies come in and have a short touch exam, we go over the results, and then I have you feel this. And every time I get, oh, that's different. Yes.
Got it. Okay.
That's what you're looking for.
That alone will train girls, women, anyone understand what normal should be.
Correct.
Or abnormal should be. Or just get checked out.
Yeah, and how long did that take?
About probably 30 seconds.
Yeah, so they'll look at me and go, why didn't my doctor do this?
I don't know.
They can buy these.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not hard.
Well, and the thing of 2000 to 2018 now, we know, okay, there's alternatives out there. Do we have the, if you want to call it intelligence, which if you graduated from elementary school, you do, understand what could be better for your body. You can read studies online, use that big thing called Google.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go to different sites too and go, just type in, what does this do? Easy, right? No more libraries, or I love libraries, but no more, you don't have to go there. But how do you educate yourself to realize what's the best for me now, 10 years from now, 30 years from now? Do you want to end up like my Aunt Sally, to where she never knew, she was naive, so she didn't have a choice.
Right.
We have choices now. If you watch this video the last 2 minutes, you understand what a breast exam should feel like for yourself. Figure it out. You know, right now we're accountable, not anybody else. There's no more excuses. And with Brenda, what you're doing right now too, how long does the examination take?
Typically it's about 15 minutes.
Okay.
For women who have a lot of a lot going on that we really want to keep an eye on.
And they have something previously coming up on a test, probably.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit longer because I want to make sure that I record everything. We have a general setting, and then we have a focus setting, which is kind of more amplified or more detailed. So I want to make sure that I keep a record of everything.
Good.
So that we can kind of follow her through whatever the progression is. But typically, it's about 15, 20 minutes.
And if someone's to take a test where you think it might, there's something in there, something positive for what you're doing, how long, what step are they saving by going to the gynecologist with this versus going through this national or the standard medical care?
What they now have is information.
Okay.
Right? Now we have just some specific information as to what we're looking for and where it is.
Got it. Okay.
So now it's going to be between the woman and her physician as to where they're going to go with that information.
Does that help them avoid the mammogram in some cases, or do they still have to go through that process?
Do you know what? It's
Is it up to their doctor,
patient
conversation?
It really depends on the doctor. Some of them are very, very hooked into what their protocol is. Some of them will be more open-minded, and they'll go right to the ultrasound. Some of them will go right into a biopsy if they know where it is. Usually it's ultrasound-guided, so they know how to find it. But it really just depends on the doctor.
And welcome to America, where you can pick your doctors.
Yes.
So finding a doctor that you go, okay, this doctor works well with what understands what we do with SureTouch, at that point they'll be more open to other things versus just straight mammogram, straight biopsy, let's figure out what's going on inside.
And it's interesting. When I had my son, I was given some really good advice to call and talk to the nurse at the doctor's office.
Talk to the nurse, okay.
The nurse. Because the nurse is the one that pretty much knows what the doctor's ideologies are.
Got it. Okay.
So I interviewed every nurse that was in my son's plan.
Yes.
Until I found a doctor who would at least be open to having conversation with me.
So you weren't forcing the one person, one doctor.
No. Good. So I recommend you do the same thing. Go through all the doctors in your plan and ask the nurse, how does the doctor feel about mammograms? Is the doctor open to other choices for breast exams?
Exactly.
And if they say, yes, Dr. So-and-so likes to have a conversation, great.
You found another option.
Yeah. But we have to do the work.
And how long did it take you?
To
find a doctor and a nurse that were willing, that was more in your philosophy.
With my son?
Yes.
I called probably about 9 offices until I found a doctor that was willing to have a conversation with me about, you know, no, you're not going to throw him on antibiotics for every little thing he has.
Yeah.
And I'm spreading out the vaccine schedule, and that means I have to make 17 trips. That means I'm making 17 trips because you're not shooting him up with... Well, anyway, that's a whole different conversation.
A lot of it is you spend the time because you're a parent for how long?
Right.
So your kids... Whenever.
Yeah.
So why not start them out right? So why not start yourself out right? Get yourself to where you have the same philosophy as someone you want to work with as your health practitioner. At that point, you understand on the same page. If I have this condition,
right,
I'm going to treat this thing maybe naturally versus straight medications, and you'll be okay with it.
Right.
You'll support me.
And there might be a time when the medication is necessary.
Exactly.
And that's okay. And
an x-ray or a mammogram.
Absolutely.
Or anything.
There will be times when that's going to be appropriate, but it doesn't always have to be the first line of defense.
And when you have a step process, what I've found is you're less anxious of the what ifs.
Right.
By going, if I have this going on and I find a nodule that might be cancerous, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. Not you're in a panic mode. Okay, I'm going to go to my doctor, whatever you want to do, I'll do.
Right.
And avoid, and not even think about the risk of doing that thing.
And fear is a killer.
Huge. Is it more fear or more anxiety?
It's both.
Okay.
Because the minute you hear we found something,
you're
off and running.
Cancer.
We're off and running.
Cancer,
and we're dying.
Super.
And all this stuff is happening right away. And A, it may not be anything at all.
Yeah.
B, if it is and you catch it early, again, treatment could be really simple.
And I've had patients come in here as a chiropractor and go, yeah, I had a doctor's appointment, I had a mammogram done, this is probably a few years ago, and it's been 3-4 weeks and I haven't got the results back yet.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting. I go, let me call your doctor right now, fax them over the results as your other doctor, just tell me your other doctor, whatever it is, and they'll know within 3 minutes.
Well, it's kind of a no news is good news kind of a thing.
Yeah.
With that, unless they find something.
But what my patients found is that they just didn't know.
Yeah.
And that sometimes based on their own psychology or mentality, that can stir the pot more and more and go, what if?
Right.
Of all the anxiety build up versus, okay, I know either I have it or don't have it. I don't have it. Great. Move on.
Right.
But I love that little
pad
you thing. It's crazy.
That is awesome, isn't it?
That alone, I'm going to put that in the video, exactly end of the video, when to look at that. But that alone will let you know exactly as someone who can examine yourself, save yourself all the headache
what you're looking
and
for.
Look for.
Absolutely.
Good. Anything else to add so far in your first video? Live YouTube video?
You know, here's my message.
This is the thing.
This is the thing. Ladies, these belong to us. They don't belong to your doctor. They don't belong to anybody else. They belong to you. And it's up to us as women to make choices that are well thought out in terms of taking care of ourselves. Like I said earlier, you go and you get your pap smear, you don't think about it. You got a little cervical cancer, we don't think about it. We need to get to that same place emotionally when it comes to our breasts and not be in this panic mode.
Mm.
And because again, fear is a killer. I say fear is a killer because I've met so many women who have had unnecessary procedures, some life-altering procedures, only to be told that it was nothing. And it happens all the time. There's one study that I really want you to look up. I want you to look up Switzerland and mammograms. Google that. Read what you find. It will be very eye-opening and very educational. I'm not trying to stir the pot and make us, you know, create
more awareness.
A revolution. I just, you know, when we talk about, you know, Pink Month in October.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Here's another awareness for you. 2.4 billion with a B is raised in October for awareness. So when I do this, I do talks and I do workshops and I ask the women, you know, how many of you are not aware? Not a single hand goes up. So awareness has been a good thing. Everybody knows. What you may not know is that only 10% of that pretty much goes to cancer research.
And that's high.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Cancer research. If you read the fine print, the money goes to cancer research, not breast cancer. Only a portion of that 10% actually goes to breast cancer research.
What portion estimate?
Maybe two.
Okay. So out of every dollar you put money into the little pot or whatever it is, or you
about
buy the socks or whatever it is too, 2 cents goes to breast cancer, and less than 10% or 10 cents goes to actually cancer in general.
Correct.
And you can go back and forth with companies running it, and it's a good awareness program, but once you know the awareness, okay, what do? How do you check yourself early? How to prevent things from happening?
Right.
So you don't have to have mastectomy. You don't have to have things happen to your body that can be life-altering for you and your family.
Here's one of the really important preventative things, aside from making sure you're getting all those excess estrogens out of your body, right? Get it out of your, make sure
so
you're
the lifestyle,
clean
nutrition.
Eggs, clean chicken, clean all your meats, your proteins. Make sure there's no hormones in any of your meats. That's number one. Mm. Number two is, and again, please Google this, vitamin D and breast cancer.
Okay.
Some very reliable studies. We all know we're all vitamin D deficient, right? Because we've been running away from the sun for the last 20 years.
Dang that thing in the sky.
I know.
Every day.
But they're now starting to figure out that vitamin D is very important for the immune system, right?
These people? It's been on for thousands of years.
Well, you know, these people that realize that we're buying these things, so now they have to figure out how to give it to us by prescription.
It's amazing.
I don't even know what that means. But okay.
It's amazing.
So 35 is where most labs want us.
Okay.
The studies have been shown that if our levels are at 50, breast cancer cells cannot survive in that.
Wow.
So I give all my patients vitamin C supplements, vitamin D,
D
supplements.
D.
But D is really good too.
D3
with K.
Got it.
Gotta have the K.
So K is potassium.
Correct. So that combination with the vitamin C is a really good 1-2 punch.
And
very,
sun.
Very good. And sun. You don't want to get it on your face, you know, get your legs out there, you know.
Wear some shorts for 10 minutes a day
and
a t-shirt. Not those net shirts, because that's weird if you wear a net shirt. Just a, just a normal t-shirt and go in the sun 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
So how much vitamin D?
Just to get your levels up to 50.
What's a good daily dose in it? If someone wants to just like, I'll think about it, what can I put in my little pill box daily?
2,000.
Good. That's it?
2,000. So what I do with my patients, we're in Southern California. So in the summer, I put them on 2,000.
Okay.
In the winter, we go up maybe to 4 or 5.
Okay.
Because, you know.
I recommend even just 10.
And back east.
Yeah, oh, 10.
Yeah. Well, I give 10 to my ladies that have breast cancer history or that have high family, you know, a genetic thing. I'll give them more because it is a fat-soluble hormone, so we don't want to saturate too much.
Okay.
So for maybe a short period of time, we might do that.
So
we get you kind of there. And then kind of hang out about 5 in the winter, and then 2 to 3.
How do you test someone's vitamin D levels?
It's blood.
Easy. Mm-hmm. Easy stuff.
Yeah, make sure it's, I mean, now most doctors are adding it to the panel, so.
It's described, so, like you mentioned, too, describing vitamin D as a source of health, which is amazing. They didn't do that 10 years ago.
It's a huge part of our immune system. You know, vitamin D isn't really a vitamin, it's a hormone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that. That's something today. Wow.
It's not a vitamin, it's a hormone.
And knowing that too, so that hormone fights the estrogen hormone that we build up through our meats.
Vitamin D keeps our cells. So here's what happens.
How does it work? I'm curious because I'm a science.
You're a science
nerd.
Geek. Oh, good.
Nerd.
Oh, that's
sorry.
Scary, I'm not that science.
Whatever
really
basic information you have, will entertain me. That's all it is. It'll entertain me. It's all about
a cancer cell is a cell that's mutated, and mutated cells have built into them a process whereby they kill themselves.
Got it. Okay.
Right? Cell suicide. Apoptosis is what it's called.
Okay.
So what happens with a cancer cell is that for whatever reason, that cell has been mutated and it does not kill itself. So now the DNA has been changed and eventually it begins to replicate. Vitamin D turns on that apoptosis.
Well, so it allows the cell to kill itself.
Correct. It turns that back
on. Cell suicide, which is a good thing.
Right.
In that sense. Wow. Good. And that's more than you. That entertained me right there.
There you go.
And that along with how much vitamin K or potassium?
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't remember the ratio.
Okay. But it's enough. Vitamin C too. Just stay healthy.
Yes.
That's the key.
Exercise is huge.
Why exercise?
Because
it increases
circulation. Yes. We get more oxygen. Cancer doesn't survive well in an oxygen-rich environment. what do we do to our girls 12 to 14 hours a day that they're not getting circulation? We've got them trapped in bras. Okay. I get a lot of women who come in that have pain or some kind of a cystic activity over here on the side, and when we look at where the wire ends, it ends right there. I'm not saying bras cause cancer. This is the thing. It's a perfect storm.
No movement, no circulation.
No movement, no circulation. Wearing our bras for more than 12 hours a day.
Okay.
Low vitamin D levels. High estrogen diet. Ladies, I know we all want to age beautifully.
Yeah.
But if your cream says results in 10 days, there's estrogen in your skincare. And there's a threshold that the companies can put the hormones in this product without having to put it on the label.
Gosh,
so if it's softening, there's estrogen in it. So we're getting all that stuff. Does this cause it? Does that cause it by itself? No. But you put all those things together, and now we have 250,000 women a year being diagnosed with breast cancer.
How's sweating? Does sweating help fight breast cancer?
I don't know if it helps fight breast cancer necessarily.
Like antiperspirants, antideodorants?
Oh, the deodorant thing? Well, here's my theory on that.
Okay.
If we're not sweating,
yeah.
that fluid that's supposed to come out is getting trapped.
Exactly. It'll promote more circulation, more movement of the body, everything.
Again, does deodorant cause cancer? No.
No,
but it's one more thing. It's one more thing. So if we can start chipping away. I found some really fabulous deodorants that are natural. There's one called Freedom. You can order that on Amazon.
Freedom, okay.
And there's another one that I just discovered from one of my clients that came in. She was... She was pregnant. She had perfect boobs.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like no density, no nothing. Her breast tissue was perfect.
Yeah.
And she uses this cream called Keeping Abreast of It. And I just ordered some of the cream, and I've been using the deodorant. It's a little spray.
Yeah.
Works great.
Nice.
But you have to be okay with being a little wet.
Yeah.
Because it's the antiperspirant part.
That's the part that most people don't know.
That's the part that's not good.
It's you don't look at commercials where you bring your arm every time you raise your arm, whatever it's called, that commercial.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is, how do you, like you said, how do you look at your lifestyle and go, okay, how do I change things without changing my life and still keep things simple to stay healthy?
Right.
And what you're doing with what you're doing here is perfect to understand. Take, how long is the breast exam you should take for a woman in the shower or whatever they can do? 30 minutes?
No. For a self-breast exam?
Yeah, self-breast exam.
Oh, no, that's like seconds.
I just want to make sure. I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew, but I want to make sure you knew.
Yeah,
take seconds a day. Like, brush your teeth, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to check every day.
Yeah,
like, you know,
you should brush your teeth every day, though.
Okay. This is true.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be good.
Thanks, sure. Especially a boy in high school.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's horrible. Sorry.
But just on the regular, and getting to know your lumps and bumps. So a lot of the ladies come in, and like I said, you know, we record. Yeah. When I find something that's cystic or fibrous, I make sure that they feel it. Do you see where that is? Do you remember where that is? I give them a little chart. So that when you check yourself and you feel it, you go, oh yeah, okay, I remember, that's what that is.
So the habit of doing it routinely.
Will get you familiarity.
Got it.
If something strange pops up or something different pops up, you can identify it. Because you know that wasn't there last week.
And if you feel something that feels somewhat cystic but not a concern, do you still have them talk to the gynecologist about that? Or do you have them kind of hold off or leave it up to them?
Knowing that they know what the difference is of what they're feeling with, you know, it just kind of depends on the woman. Some women are, they want to have more information, and that's fine. And some women are, they'll just come in and say, you know, I'm feeling something kind of funny. Can I come in and get checked? Yeah, you know, we'll come in and we'll take a look at it.
Perfect.
And, you know, and then make some decisions from there.
Well, and a lot of you have done, Brenda, is also give people information. Okay, how do I check myself? How do I find a better alternative for me if I don't want the radiation and the pain of having a mammogram? And also, to how do I live a healthy lifestyle so I can avoid the risk of getting that percentage of breast cancer that can be cancerous or metastasized too.
Right, and it's all about risk. I mean, really, that's what it is. How do we lower it, and what are the things that contribute to it? So which way, where do you want to be on that line?
And how do they contact you? You live in Pasadena, but also you work in a region too. Contact you that uses a SureTouch or something like this to have the non-thermography, non-ultrasound, non-mammogram exam done, which is reliable?
Well, my practice in Pasadena, it's Pasadena Breast Wellness. You can go on PasadenaBreastWellness.com.
It'll be in the show notes too. It'll be in the description of the YouTube
video.
Right.
Okay. To schedule an appointment, you can go through there or through BrendaBSmith.com. Schedule an appointment for me in Pasadena.
Good.
I do have a counterpart in Orange County.
Good.
She's OC Breast Wellness. And she offers SureTouch and thermography. So if some ladies like to do both, like I said, you know, doing two is a good option. Okay. So she's got that. And then, you know, I'm hoping to take my show on the road. So
good.
I don't know, maybe we can come visit you and have some ladies come here.
That's the plan, is setting up the marketing portion of this, which is the awareness and the marketing too, to go, how do we make this reliable and available to people in every city at certain times of the month or year, so we can get it done and become aware of how to treat your body properly.
Correct.
And educate them why you're doing it. This is what to look for, this is what not to look for.
Right.
That point, even doing it in my office or somewhere else locally on a scheduled basis allows people to have that alternative versus having to run their doctor. With copay, we talked a little earlier too, with copay deductibles going higher and higher every year based on what's out of pocket for a person, in my office, we've gone more a cash practice based on that.
Right.
Versus insurances and some personal injury too, because there's still a need for chiropractic care. This is not going to change. People realize now you have to pay more out of pocket for something that you got maybe 4 years ago paid for your health insurance. What are you seeing now, people coming in and having, do they have that mentality, hey, look, I'm going to have to pay either through my medical doctor, which is in my sense more risky, or through you? Do you see things kind of balance themselves out again, where the cost is becoming more efficient to do something that's more quality versus more of going to more standard medical care?
Well, if we sit down and do the math, I think
that's the thing.
That's always true.
What's the cost?
Absolutely. A lot of times we're just hung up on it's $25 copay.
Yeah.
You're not really realizing what you're paying in the premium
and
everything
the quality?
Else and all that and exactly what you're getting. So, and that goes back to just taking responsibility for ourselves. You know, understanding what that, you know, standard of care is, if the $25 copay is what you want to do, and for that, then that's fine. I have yet to see too many women balk about paying for the SureTouch. And you know, we're at $175 to $199 per exam. And you get immediate results and you have peace of mind. Because that's all we want, right? We just want peace of mind, ladies.
And when you do it the first time, and what I've heard so far, is you'll get the education.
Yes, and
behind
that will end up.
An examination that doesn't do that,
right.
Or the medic doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And you get the assurance, okay, now I can go home and do my part to either understand how to prevent or become less risk of having breast cancer.
Correct.
And that alone is worth at least $1,000.
And that's not a guarantee.
No.
But at least it puts us in control and empowers us to be proactive.
Huge.
Which is huge.
Huge. And I'll put all your information in show notes. At that point, contact her, because we will have something locally next couple months and have the awareness out there. How do you get you, someone else, on Facebook, on YouTube, on the grams and books out there to understand there's alternatives to having the radiation and the pain, everything that goes along with doing it. And also, if you don't do it, how do you risk of not even knowing?
Right.
Which is huge. Good. Anything else for a first show with you?
It's very simple, very easy.
Brenda's biggest message to women around the world is to take control of your health. As Brenda explains, early detection is the best way to fight breast cancer or other cancers. Doing SureTouch modality allows you a certain method that is less risky with radiation and ability to learn how to do your breast exam properly, then use Brenda's SureTouch modality to screen out for cancer or other nodules that can be precancerous. Again, go to the show notes to look at the highlights from Brenda's talk, also our Facebook, to look at the overall comments, leave comments yourself, along with watching the full video or other videos from our other podcasts to learn how to keep yourself and your family, and especially your daughters, healthy. Have a great day.